This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The obscure tax that could play a role in keeping the government from shutting down tonight.
Wake up to the day's top business headlines. Subscribe to the Marketplace Morning Report podcast. It's on iTunes and marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The partial closing of the federal government could come midnight tonight, as we've been hearing. Lawmakers did not agree on a spending bill to keep the government up and running over the weekend. The House bill is tied to a one-year delay in the Affordable Care Act. The Senate's Democratic leaders say that is a non-starter. There doesn't seem to be much room for negotiation, but there may be one little patch of ground, a piece of the health care reform law that taxes medical devices. Marketplace's David Gura joins us from Washington. Good morning, David.
Morning, David.
First of all, what's this medical device tax?
Yeah, so this went into effect earlier this year. It's a tax on things like defibrillators and artificial hips, so heavy-duty medical equipment. We're not talking here about eyeglasses or thermometers or things that you or I could get over the counter. Anyway, it's a 2.3% tax that's designed to help pay for the new healthcare law.
Beyond that, why is it actually part of the law?
Yeah, well, I talked to John Gruber about this just a few minutes ago. He's an economist at MIT, a health policy expert who helped write the law. And here's how he explained it to me.
We're covering 30 million more people with insurance. That's more medical care they're going to use. The notion was that those sectors that will benefit from all those new insured contribute back some of the money they'll make to help pay for the law.
The CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, David, says this particular tax on medical devices will bring in about $29 billion over the next 10 years. And this is just one tax of many on different parts of the healthcare industry.
What do you think, though? Is any real chance this could lead to some kind of last-minute budget deal?
Well, I don't think there's a whole lot of optimism here, but there is some. I mean, look, repealing this tax on medical devices has gotten some bipartisan support in the past. There have been a few symbolic votes on it. The industry's been lobbying hard for its repeal. But the White House says it's not interested in repealing the tax. And the Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says he's not willing to touch the health care law either. So there aren't many options left. And David, there isn't much time either.
Marketplace's David Gura in Washington. American taxpayers have spent more than $60 billion rebuilding Iraq since the U.S.-led invasion in 2003. Today, the office that Congress set up to keep an eye on all that money is closing its doors for good, nothing to do with the government shutdown. Shannon Mullen reports.
We'll never know exactly how much cash was wasted or stolen, the Special Inspector General for Iraq Reconstruction admits. So what grade should Stuart Bowen and his watchdog team get as they close up shop?
The B plus A minus range?
Scott Amey is with the Project on Government Oversight.
Their investigations and audits helped recover $2 billion in direct savings or in court-ordered recoveries.
Spending topped $25 million a day at one point. Plus, it was a war zone. Catherine Lutz is co-director of the Cost of War Project at Brown University.
They were, in some cases, not even able to get to the sites of some of the construction projects that they were inspecting and had to show up at other places with helmets and flak jackets and so on.
If there's a next time, Inspector General Bowen says the U.S. should keep someone like him on staff for good. A bill currently before Congress would do just that. I'm Shannon Mullen for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
So back to the top story. If Congress doesn't authorize the money in the coming hours, what have been deemed non-essential parts of the federal government will close down. This includes, it turns out, the statisticians who are calculating what is arguably the most market-sensitive government report of the week, Friday's scheduled employment and unemployment report. On Mondays, we check in with Julia Coronado, Chief Economist North America at BNP Paribas in New York. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
So if the Bureau of Labor Statistics folks have to stay home with a government shutdown, what happens Friday?
Well, we won't get the all-important employment report, and there is some precedent for this. When the government shut down in 95-96, the January employment report did indeed get delayed for several weeks, so we would have nothing to look forward to on Friday.
Clearly, the world would go on, but it would inject some uncertainty because folks like you would just have to guess.
That's right. I mean, and uncertainty is never good for financial markets, and we're seeing that this morning. So there's a lot of jitters, not just because the economic impact would be so large, but we just won't know what will come next.
And there's also uncertainty coming out of Europe today that has nothing to do with the fiscal impasse in Washington.
Yes, they have their own government problems to worry about. The Berlusconi party has resigned in an attempt to force a vote of confidence for the current government. So we could be looking at a whole new wave of Italian elections, and that's a cloud of uncertainty over the Eurozone.
And could affect the mending to the fiscal crisis there. Julia Coronado, BNP Paribas, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
And what is considered the most valuable brand on Earth? Since dinosaurs ruled the Earth, the answer has always been Coca-Cola. Until now. Interbrands every year does an estimate, and its report out today drops Coke down to number 3. Most valuable brand now is shaped like an apple. The number 2 brand rhymes with Kugel, sort of. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.